I'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbringing, upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. This is the word of God.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, even as we look at your word today, Lord, the preaching of your word, we pray, Lord, that as a church, as we deliberate and hear about this gift of prophecy, may you give us wisdom, Lord, to understand how it can be used to build the church and your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, after a Sunday service, during refreshment, a sister came up to me and she was very excited. And she said that she has seen me in her dream, right? I was feeling kind of honored. My ego start to puff up a little bit. I mean, it's not always you have somebody who dream about you, right or not? And she said that in the dream, she saw me in a minister shirt. Oh, must be something good coming up already. And I was getting very excited. Perhaps God wants to tell me something nice. And then she added, but in the dream, you are very thin, you know. You are very thin. And she had to say this 2 times, you see. Well, of course, we both have a good laugh over it. Then I was just joking with her that, you know, perhaps this is a prophecy. Maybe the Lord wants to tell me something. Now, our passage today talks about the gift of prophecy. And I suspect that we don't really know or understand what this gift is. Actually, in chapter 14, the Apostle Paul explains about 2 gifts in particular: the speaking of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Now, in the interest of focus and time, I want to focus on the gift of prophecy. And the reason is that if you look at the way that the chapter is written, it seems that, if I can put it this way, Paul seems to place a higher priority in the gift of prophecy. If you look at verse 1, he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gift, especially that you may prophesy. And then later down the passage in verse 39, he says, so my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. Now, this phrase, earnestly desire, means to have very strong feelings about it. Okay, in the original language, this is what it means. It can be a negative word, but with a positive meaning. It means to covet, to want it, you know, to desire for it, to be jealous over it. Yes, for all the spiritual gifts, but prophecy in particular. It is as though that if there was one gift that the apostle wished that all believers can have, it would be this: the gift of prophecy. But what is the gift of prophecy? Who and what is the gift of prophecy for? And how do we actually practice it? Okay, so this is today's sermon. What is it going to be about? The outline is in your bulletin if you want to follow along, right? Now, some people would argue that this gift of prophecy is basically healthy preaching, good teaching, a good proclamation of the word. It is true to a certain extent that preaching can have prophetic word. God may use the preaching of the word to speak to our specific situation. All right, God can use the sermon and the preacher to speak to us. But the gift of prophecy is not just limited to the pulpit or the preacher. If you look at verse 31, Paul writes, "For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged." Right? This is what he wrote in verse 31, that all may learn and be encouraged. And it's interesting that Paul writes, "You can all prophesy." He was talking to the whole church. And it indicates that this gift is open to believers in general in the church, as the Spirit wills. So it's not just limited in a worship service, the preacher, or through preaching. Believers can have this gift. So what exactly is the gift of prophecy? All right. So if we look at verse 30, Paul describes this in this form: if a revelation is made to another. Now, the word revelation here means God bringing something spontaneous to mind. God bringing something spontaneous to mind. Now, in our church, we as a leadership studied the spiritual gifts some years back, and we deliberated about it, and this is our understanding of the gift of prophecy. As a church, prophecy in the New Testament is based on receiving a spontaneous revelation from God that is for edifying a believer and convicting non-believers. It is always subject to the authority of Scripture and the discernment of the church. And our church understanding of this gift of prophecy is very much in line with a very renowned systematic theologian named Wayne Grudem. He wrote textbooks on systematic theology, and this is along the line of what he describes: the telling of something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. So what does this gift look like, the gift of prophecy? Now, prophecy can come in different shapes and sizes. There's no one size fit all. So some examples. I remember that some years back when I was with a mission team, a mission trip in Thailand, during a visitation, Reverend Inkyet would open a time for the mission trippers, you know, after we visited the families or the believers or the pre-believers even. Reverend Inkyet would open this time for the mission trippers to say a word of encouragement or to pray or to read a word that, from Scripture that comes to mind. And it's very interesting that different one of us has these words of encouragement to the families. So that is one example of what a prophecy can look like. It's being sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit regarding what to say or pray for people. A prophecy could be that you feel that urgent sense, not explaining why, to pray for someone or a missionary. And then later you found out that this missionary that you have been praying for, he probably was in an accident or was facing some difficult time or spiritual conflict. And the Holy Spirit had laid that burden to pray for this person. It could be that you are having a conversation with someone and the person is led to tell you, "You know, brother, I think the Lord is placing this in my heart that I need to tell you." And then when the word comes to you, it is like, "Yes, that is what I needed to hear from the Lord." And that impresses our hearts and it brings great comfort. A prophecy could also be that the Holy Spirit bring to mind a hymn, a scripture during the worship service that speaks to us in a very particular situation. Now, I remember some years ago that I had to make a major decision that involved the family, and as I was pondering over the matter, The Lord brought to mind this passage in Genesis 18:14, and it was God speaking to Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And that spoke to me. Although I have come across these verses a couple of times, but at that moment it spoke to me as though the Lord speaks very clearly. In what you are about to do, is anything too hard for me? And that gave me the courage to press on. So, what is this gift of prophecy? It is certainly not some fortune-telling. It is not some sensational movies that we watch about the last days. It is not limited to powerful preaching. It is something that God spontaneously brings to mind, and it is God's word to a specific need, addressing a fear perhaps, addressing a worry, or warns us to follow God's word. Right? Now, one thing we need to be clear about the gift of prophecy is that it does not have the same authority as Scripture. Right? It does not have the same authority as Scripture. It does not carry the same weight of what the prophets or the apostles says in the Old and New Testament. Okay? And Wayne Grudem, he makes this distinction on prophecy. He says this: prophecy in the church today should not be equal to God's word in authority. Now, if you look into the Bible, the prophets speak and write words that had absolute divine authority. And that is why they can write as though, a lot of times we see in the Bible, thus says the Lord. It is a direct word from him. And he calls all believers to believe. And to disbelieve and disobey the prophet is to disbelieve and disobey God. But the words that we give out of this gift of prophecy or we receive, that requires discernment and evaluation. It can also be rejected in parts if we choose to discern otherwise. Now we see one example in Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, a prophet prophesied and warned Paul not to go to Jerusalem because his life would be in danger. When Paul's friends and his companions heard about this prophecy, they pleaded with Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. But Paul, he would not be dissuaded. He chose to go to Jerusalem knowing very well that this prophecy has some truth in it. So, if prophecy holds the same weight as Scripture, Paul wouldn't have disobeyed it. Okay. So, we see that prophecy does not carry totally the same weight as what we have in the Bible. In fact, it should be evaluated and discerned with Scripture. And that is something that the Bible tells us in other parts of Scripture. So, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells us, or the Word of God tells us, that, yeah, don't despise prophecy, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. In other words, we, the receiver or the believer, have the responsibility to test the prophecy. Okay, we have to discern very carefully what to keep and what to discard. And on the same note, in our passage, later on in verse 29, where the apostle says, when two or three speak, let the others weigh. We have to weigh this. This idea of weigh means, in the original language, to separate, to distinguish, to make a careful distinction and weigh what is being said, to measure it either with Scripture, right? And that is something that in the earlier example in Acts 21, while that prophecy was true, Paul the apostle weighed the prophecy and he was convicted that the persecution that was ahead would not stop him from preaching the gospel. Now, the basic method to weigh prophecy is Scripture. Scripture is the standard, the rule of the thumb, so to say. And so when we ask basic questions, if we receive someone telling a prophecy or someone telling us something, is a key question that we should ask is, does the prophecy conforms to the truth in God's word? Or is it something totally against God's word? If it goes against, then this is not a prophecy. Does it go against the word of God or the character of God? So for example, just an example, maybe some of you are thinking to marry a pre-believer, and then you ask a fellow Christian for advice, and as your talk, the Christian friend says, follow your heart, do what you like. Then you think, this must be a prophecy from God. God has spoken. I can marry whoever I like, but wrong. Look at Scripture as the guide. And this is a prophecy. It is not a prophecy. This is a false teaching. Because when we weigh the person's opinion with the truth that is in Scripture, we find that Scripture from Old Testament right up to New Testament forbids marriages outside the faith because it leads the people of God away from God. And the Bible also warns of being unequally yoked. So you see, prophecy needs to be weighed, it needs to be tested. And the gauge of it, the standard of it, is does it conform to Scripture? Right? Okay, so what we've learned so far, the gift of prophecy is telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. We also learned that prophecy does not equate to the authority of Scripture. There is an element that we need to weigh it, we need to evaluate it, we need to discern it, even if not alone, better to have a group of Christians to say, you know, I received this from somebody, what do you think of it, a mature Christian? And we can weigh it within the faith community also. Okay? Now that implies that if we are impressed with a word from God for somebody, and we think that we need to tell this person, we can share it in this way. We don't say, thus says the Lord, you've got to listen to this. That is only the prophet and the apostles say, the direct revelation of God's word to them. So we use language like, you know, brother or sister, I think the Lord is bringing to mind this, this, this. Perhaps the Lord is showing you that you need to this, this, this. It is not that we are unsure, but we allow a shared responsibility to discern if this is something from the Lord. As much as we, the receiver, gives it, I mean we, the giver, give it, the receiver will have the responsibility to weigh and to test. Is this something the Lord is speaking to me at this point of time? And the prophecy certainly cannot contradict God's word in the Bible or his character. Now, next we ask the question, who or what is the gift of prophecy for? And if you look at verse 3, which we read just now, one of the key purpose of this gift of prophecy is to edify believers. And Paul tells us, the one who prophesies speak to people for their upbuilding, and encouragement, and consolation. In other words, comfort. We see an example of how a prophecy can build or encourage. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 14, Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. It's upbuilding Timothy. Remember, Timothy, you got this gift through the prophecy of the elders. And the elders has already affirmed you have this gift through a prophecy. Now, in another passage in Acts chapter 11, there is a prophet by the name of Agabus who stood up and tell the believers then about a coming a famine that was happening. And it brought encouragement in the sense that the response of the early church after they hear this prophecy was to come together and everyone, according to its own ability, send relief to the brothers living in Judah. They heard a prophecy that there was going to be a famine in Judah, and the rest of the believers was moved and encouraged the other believers by coming together and support the famine work. I remember that another example of how prophecy can encourage is I remember that some years back during my when I was about to go for my 1 year study in overseas with my family, I had many concerns and worry. How do I uproot the entire family to go to a foreign land? And during that time, we had a dinner, and there was a pastor that was in town. I don't really know him. I thought just catch up, get to know him, and invited him over for dinner. He don't know me. I do not know him. And then dinner, as we were talking, as we were having a conversation, and then suddenly he says, you know, can I share a vision that I have for you? I said, yeah, why not? I mean, if it's from the Lord. And that vision describes that he saw me in a boat struggling in a boat. And that's all he said. But that speaks to me at that point of time because I was quite anxious about all these matters. So I was like in an anxious, like struggling on a boat. But I think what he encouraged me is through a psalm that says that this is the word of the Lord to you. And he brought great encouragement to me. It's like God knows how I felt, what I was struggling. And at that point of time, this word from the Lord spoke to me. And it gave me great encouragement. The gift of prophecy can be used to upbuild. It can be used to encourage. It can also be used to comfort, or what Paul writes as consolation. Some years back, I had the privilege of attending a pastor's 20th anniversary celebration in the church. He was in the ministry for 20 years, and the church had a celebration to honor his ministry. And the members were sharing, you know, one by one, how they have been blessed by his ministry, his work, and his preaching. And I remember there was a particular member, a sister, shared that there was a period in her life that she had to struggle with chronic fear. In other words, she was fearing about anything and everything without no reasons. She feared for her children, she feared for her family, she feared for her health, she feared for her future, and she wasn't sure why, but there was this fear that consumes her. And she was sharing this testimony during that anniversary that there was one day that the pastor's wife called her out of the blue and just tell her, I just call you to say that the Lord wants to say to you, don't fear. And that simple word gave her great comfort and encouragement at that point of her life. It was the word that she needed to hear from the word, from the Lord, very specifically. And that brought her, she was very comforted. This is also an example of a prophecy that a believer has this gift and choose it and use it to comfort another person. So we see that the gift of prophecy is a very precious gift. It can be used to upbuild, it can be used to comfort, and it can be used to encourage people at their very specific moment of need. Now, if you look at verses 24 and 25, Paul also tells us that this is a gift that could also minister to pre-believers. And he tells us, if all prophesies and an unbeliever or someone outside enters, he's convicted by all, he's called to account by all, the secrets of his hearts are disclosed. So falling on his feet, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. This is an unbeliever, and Paul tells us how this gift can also encourage a pre-believer. Now, I read this example somewhere, and this is an example of, I read this example. A preacher was asked to preach in a church, and then he suddenly stops midway of the sermon, and he said this: "You know, I didn't plan to say this, but then it seems that the Lord is indicating and impressing upon my heart that there is someone in this church, and you are thinking of walking out of your family and your spouse. Now, if this is so, the Lord wants you to know that he wants you to return to them and follow God's pattern of what a family life should be." And unknown to this preacher, there was really someone in the congregation, a pre-believer, who just walked into church, wanted to try it out, and he was facing that situation. He wanted to walk out of his family. And so when that prophecy was spoken to that pre-believer, he acknowledged that sin that was so real. And through that, he began to seek God. Now, of course, this example is unique to us, that situation. But can you imagine if some of us here have the gift, we develop it, and we grow in it, we could speak a certain truth in somebody's life. We could build a believer. We could comfort a pre-believer, our pre-believing friends. And they could experience God in a very real way. So the gift of prophecy, if you look into this passage, it's a very important gift. It's a very valuable gift in the church. It can demonstrate, it can help people sense that, yeah, really, God is present among us. God is present in my life. He has this word for me in my situation. When Paul wrote this letter, he was writing to a church that was in a mess. Isn't it? We've been hearing in 1 Corinthians how this is a troubled church. There was immaturity, there was selfishness, there were divisions, and there were other problems. Yet Paul was eager that this gift function in that troubled church. I believe that we don't face the same situations of that measure in the church in Corinth. But how much more that believers today should also seek and grow in this gift. Wayne Grudem, I was telling you about this theologian. Actually, he's a very conservative theologian. He's the author of the book Systematic Theology. It's a textbook. But he writes this, he says this: "You know, we evangelicals who profess to believe and obey all that Scripture says, should we not also believe and obey this?" Referring to the gift of prophecy. "And might a greater openness to the gift of prophecy perhaps help to correct a dangerous imbalance in the church life, an imbalance that comes because we are too exclusive, intellectual, objective, and narrowly doctrinal?" It is true. If I were to be honest with myself in life, you know, sometimes we can be too objective, so objective until we cannot allow the Holy Spirit to work spontaneously in our lives. But today's passage tells us to be open that God can show us his presence, the presence of God's work and the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit through the gift of prophecy. This is one of the spiritual gifts that God has blessed the church. And it is certainly something that we can use to minister to other people. So how do we practice this gift? What are some guidelines? First of all, we ask the question, will all Christians have this gift? Can all prophesy? Well, in this chapter, in verse 1 and in verse 39, you know, Paul seems to urge all Christians, you know, to seek after this gift. But we also remember in other passages, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it indicates that no one person, no one will possess every gift. Not everybody will have the same gift. Every one of us will be different. So some of us will have different gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 29, in this teaching on spiritual gifts, Paul asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? When he asks this kind of rhetoric question, the obvious answer is no. So in other words, different of us will have different gifts. So not everyone will have the same gift. But for those who are seeking, and perhaps the Holy Spirit has gifted you in this gift, there are some helpful questions that we can reflect. Number one, have I prayed and sincerely asked God for this gift? Second question, am I growing towards Christian maturity? And this is a very, very important question. If we desire the Lord to speak in and through us, then it is very foundational. It is very important that we first have a consistent habit and a diet of reading God's word and prayer. If our minds and our hearts are empty of God's word, then there's nothing God can use to speak to his people. So we ourselves have to grow so that when God wants to speak of a word from the scripture, it is in our heads. It is something that we have been practicing in our lives. So, question to ask in terms of maturity is, are we growing consistently in our spiritual disciplines? Are we living in obedience to the Lord? How can we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit if we are living in disobedience to the Lord? And the last question to ask is, do I want this gift for the benefit of the church, for the people of God, and not so much for my glory, my status, or prestige? And so this is a wonderful gift, and if we like to explore on it, we can take small steps, perhaps to start praying for someone that God brings to mind. It will spend some, a small step is to spend this period of time praying for this person and ask God, you know, God, what is your word for this person? What is a message that we can share with this person? Now, like all spiritual gift, we need to understand something, that the gift of prophecy is not for our personal benefit. It is for the common good. And this is something that we have heard in previous sermon. And the motivation of exercising this gift is for the benefit of the body of Christ and not so much my status, my glory. It is for the people of God. So, if I come to you saying, brother, sister, I think the Lord is impressing upon your heart to pay all my bills. Correct or not? Whose benefit is this for? Not your benefit, certainly. It's for my benefit. So, that is not a prophecy, a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is always for the benefit of the people of God. And it's also, as we hear last week's sermon, an outflowing of love for the people of God. Can you imagine what happens if those of us who have this gift do not bury it and use it out of love for the people of God? Many people will be encouraged. They will sense that, wow, God is really present among us. God has a personal message for me. many will be comforted to know that God cares for them through this personal word of prophecy. Now, it is perhaps not a coincidence that chapter 14 comes after the chapter on love that we hear last week. In chapter 13, it warns us that we may have amazing gifts, but they are nothing if the motivation and the heart behind it is not love. And likewise, when we practice the gift of prophecy, it is because we love. We love a brother or a sister enough to share that word from God. We love to upbuild, to encourage, and console others through the gift of prophecy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And as a church, Lord, perhaps this is not a gift that we are very exposed to, but it is in your word. And you encourage us to earnestly desire for it. I pray, Lord, that as we hear your word today, Spirit of the living God, continue to speak to us, that those who have desire for it, Lord, let us pray.